music we trust on BBC Radio 1.
A new music we trust on BBC Radio 1.
Trust us to bring you the best new music
from across the UK and from around the world.
Now,
this is BBC.
BBC Radio 1 Stories.
My name's Pippa Haynes and I'm 18 years old. This is the moment, this time last year, that I was picked to be a Radio 1 teen hero.
Congratulations, Pippa, you really do deserve to be a teen hero.
So, how does it feel being in front of Wembley Arena?
Overwhelming.
I'm Greg James, and I had the privilege of handing that award to Pippa 12 months ago to recognise her work as a young and, well, now she's 18, a young adult carer.
There's thousands of people screaming at you, you're like, oh my God. And then when I got outside, people were asking me for my autograph, and I was like, I'm not even famous. Why are you asking me for my autograph? You're waiting around for me? Me? Little me?
The excitement soon died down, though, and life got back to normal. Normal, that is, for Pippa.
Some days my mum's absolutely on top of the world, and then the next day she might be in bed, can't move, her back's given up. And you're like, OK, I need to step up and do everything.
Pippa's been a carer since she was four, after her mum was left disabled with spinal injuries. Add in her sister's mental health problems, helping with her autistic nephew, working several jobs to help pay the bills and keeping up college work, it's no wonder it sometimes feels too much.
There's a bridge that I walk over to go to one of my jobs, and there's been days where I've sat there and gone, I wonder what it would be like to be at the bottom of that bridge, flat from jumping off the bridge. When you get to that point, you think, why is there no support?
Officially, there are nearly 300,000 16 to 24-year-old carers in the UK, many of them working for free for anything up to 60 hours a week. The real numbers, though, could be much, much higher, with many not realising that they're carers. Sometimes people don't want to admit what goes on behind closed doors.
You get people that go out and take drugs and get drunk at the weekend and smash up the local bus stop, and they get publicity. But there's young carers that stay at home every single night of the week, don't go out on the weekends, they're 18, 19, 20, and they're like, who are they? Because they are behind closed doors, they don't go out and they don't make a scene. Every young carer deserves to get recognised in some way. If we all downed tools and went, nope, not doing it anymore, the council and the government would be in a hell of a mess.
So then, the hashtag to tell us what you think is, all one word, keeping mum. Tweet us at BBCR1, and for tonight's Radio 1 story, young carer Pippa is in the driving seat, shining a light on what's been called Britain's hidden and neglected army of young and young adult carers.
BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
Pippa, welcome to your very own Radio 1 Story.
Hello, Greg.
It's exciting, isn't it?
Very.
You're in the radio.
I know, it's so exciting.
Right now, you're on it.
I know.
So tell me who you've brought along to explain all these stories.
I've brought Shani.
Hi.
Sam.
Hello.
Carwin.
Hello.
Rebecca.
Hi.
And Karina.
Hello.
I quite like that. I like Karin's one.
Hello.
That's a nice one. So what do they all do?
They're all adult young carers. So someone in their family has a disability, may it be mental or physical. They are saving the government thousands by looking after them.
So young adult carers, what does that even mean?
It means you're between the age of 16 and 24 and you look after someone in your family. It's very difficult. You have to learn to juggle your own personal life with looking after somebody else.
So you have to grow up quite quickly.
Yes, you don't really have a childhood.
OK, time to introduce something else we're doing here. Do you hear that noise? That noise is the noise of a marker pen on a very formal-looking flip chart that I have brought from home and is at the back of the studio. At home, I put all my deepest thoughts on this at home, so don't look at the back of the paper because some of them are on there. But I've got a new sheet for you, and this is what we're going to do with this flipboard. We're going to put down all the points that you lot want to take to the government. So, Pippa, we're going to send you to go and speak to a minister from the government. Is that all right?
Oh, yes.
You excited?
Oh, very.
You're going to wear a tux to go to
tux?
The
Can't
government.
I just wear a dress?
No.
So, guys, what do you think we should put on the list first?
Karina.
I definitely think carers should be noticed more, so it should be more, raise awareness about it more, so that people know that actually getting up in the morning and dressing your mum or making dinner for the family isn't the norm, and you can receive support for it.
Yeah, cool. Okay, good. We have the first thing on our fabulous flip chart. Raise awareness and do more to notice young carers. So that should be in tomorrow's Newsbeat. So tune in tomorrow at 12:45 to hear about that. Thank you, Karina. So, Pippa, first song today, what are we going to play?
We're going to play Gym Class Heroes, The Fighter, featuring Ryan Tedder. I think it's really inspirational. It gives you something to look at. If someone can start at the bottom and work their way up to the top, then there's no reason that, with my personal circumstances, that I shouldn't be able to do that as well. Girl, just waking up in the morning in the be well. Quite honest with you, I ain't really sleep well. You ever feel like your train of thought's been derailed? That's when you press on, lean in. Half the population just waiting to see me fail. Yeah, right, you better off trying to freeze hell. Some of us do it for the females, and others do it for the retail. What I do it for the kids, life through the tower in on. Every time you fall, it's only making your chin strong. And I'll be in your corner like Nick, baby, till the end. And when you hear a song from that big lady, until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home, what we gonna do, y'all? For rock bottom, Loserville, nothing town. Textbook version of a kid going nowhere fast. And now I'm yelling, kiss my. It's gonna take a couple right hooks, a few left jabs, for you to recognize you really ain't got it bad. Until the referee rings the bell, until both your eyes start to swell, until the crowd goes home.
Listening to Keeping Mum, where we're hearing the stories of what's been called Britain's hidden and neglected army of young and young adult carers. Tweet us at BBCR1 and use the hashtag Keeping Mum, all one word.
BBC.
What you talking about?
BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
Pippa, you know what we're going to do now, don't you?
Yes, I do, Greg, indeed.
We're going to meet the lads.
We are.
Three lads.
We're going to meet Sam and Carwin. They're two very different guys. They live in opposite ends of the country, but they have the same things to deal with at home.
Staff announcement, Sam, to paint mixing machine, please, Sam.
For some reason, with the small mixers, they make quite a bit of noise.
When we went to meet Sam, where he worked at DIY Superstore in Norfolk, he was mixing up paint for customers.
My dad suffers from depression quite bad. Sometimes he can be suffering quite bad where he can't get out of bed, or he just needs you to do everything. He needs to just blank out life itself.
Sam dropped out of sick form so he could take on more hours at work to help his mum and dad pay the household bills. And because his caring role at home left him with very little time or energy for studying.
My mum, she suffers with quite a few illnesses, mostly fibromyalgia and ME. She can't get herself food or drink. She quite often just needs a helping hand with the everyday sort of things.
Most adult young carers will tell you, you put your family's needs ahead of what might be best for yourself.
With everything going on at home, I couldn't really keep up with the work at school. Thinking about the future, maybe it's going to leave me a little bit blank, but you've just got to do what you've got to do. I feel like my family needs me a little bit more than I need education.
In Pembrokeshire, in West Wales, 19-year-old Carwin sits next to his mum, Anne's electric wheelchair, as a nurse bathes her hands and feet to ease the pain of her rheumatoid arthritis.
They do this about 3 times a day, and then massage them in cream then after doing this. It does help ease the pain.
At the end of the day, responsible for the health of another person, and that's quite a big deal at the age of 17 and 19.
Carwin's dad died when he and his brother Alid were small. Anne's condition came on slowly after that, eventually leaving her unable to feed or even move herself without help. Carwin and Alid grew up largely responsible for both the family farm and their mother's round-the-clock care.
Yes, they've helped me considerably with everything. Toileting, going to bed, everything they've done.
Lately, paid carers have been brought in to allow the brothers some time to themselves. It's given Carwin freedom to do other things like going to university in nearby Swansea. But the support on offer is constantly under review. If it was taken away, he says he'd have to quit university and go back to full-time caring.
I don't know where I'd be, really. I'd have to just put everything on hold, especially for people who paid their taxes all their life. What they get in, at the end of the day is a kick in the backside and saying, it's up to your family members to look after you. It's an unfair responsibility that's handed down to so many people.
Carwin, the only way you can do some of the stuff you do is because of the extra support you get. Tell me a bit about that.
In the last year, we've received 24-hour care for my mum. For me and my brother Alid, that's just completely changed our lives. We've been able to do stuff that we've never been able to do before, such as, you know, me going off to university and just having time to kind of go off and do our own thing, like play rugby or kind of socialising that other young people just take for granted at this age. It's just opened so many doors for me to kind of get that push to kind of, you know, be a little bit selfish in a way. But I certainly feel a sense of guilt because I'm doing things for my benefit rather than for my mum's benefit.
But I'm sure she'd be happy that you are living your life as much as you possibly can.
Definitely, but there is that sense of, you know, you're leaving the responsibilities and the responsibilities still exist, but I'm not there, and it's quite hard to accept that you should be selfish, and it's an odd thought.
So, Sam, at what point do you go, right, now I'm going to be selfish?
At the moment, I'm still thinking family first. I'm 17, you know, I've got my whole life ahead of me. I can go back to college when I'm 40. But I don't want to go back full-time. I never want to do that because I just don't think I have the life for it.
And what do you mean? So the fact that you're a carer?
Yeah, and I suppose I take on more responsibilities than I should. You know, it's not necessarily my job to worry about the finances of the house, but I still do.
Is your family putting pressure on you to do the finances, or is this completely off your own back?
They would rather I didn't even worry about it. They'd rather I just sort of focus on the rest of my life. They'd never want me to feel it's my responsibility, but I take it as my responsibility. Just because I'm young doesn't mean I should gallivant off and go do whatever I want. I still should think about other people.
That's a lot to deal with when you're 17.
I don't know, it's just something that, for me, it's something that you just do.
This is BBC.
BBC Radio 1 Stories. Discover more.
Okay, let's move on. Hashtag keeping mum on Twitter, all one word. At BBCR1 is the Twitter address. Wait a second. What on earth is going on here? Let's find out as the door opens. Look, everyone, it's Arishe from JLS. It's Shani's face. Shani's hair is stuck in Arishe's button. Yeah. And that's not a euphemism.
You've got to go home with him now.
Arishe, take a seat, sir. Take
a
seat. I think it's fair to say everyone's a little bit shocked. But that was the idea.
Greg, this is my extra special guest that I wanted to keep a big surprise, Arishe Williams from JLS. We all know you as 2008 X Factor runner-up and international globe-trotting pop star. Actually, though, you've got plenty in common with Carwin, Sam, me and everyone else in the room, haven't you?
Yeah. Since the age of 12, I was, 11 years old, really. I was looking after my mum full-time. She was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. From 11, 12, I started looking after my mum and my younger siblings, you know, cooking, cleaning, even to the point where my mum's condition was getting worse. Well, I was helping her bathe, go to the bathroom.
We really appreciate you coming in, and we'll talk more in a second. And everyone here can pitch a question to you as well. First of all, though, I think we need to select someone to pick their favourite JLS track. Now, I'm gonna take a wild pun here and say that Shani, I think you should pick this track. So step
on,
forward,
Shani.
Please. Share the microphone with Arishe.
Come on, darling.
Is there a seat?
Please don't faint.
Please come, don't you get, come sit with me.
Please don't get your hair caught in his come button again. Shani, what JLS song should we play in honour of Arishe?
The Club Is Alive.
What? Club Is Alive.
The Club Is Alive.
Oh, I like that one. That's a good one.
You've got to like them. Of course you like them.
Oh, yeah.
They're your songs.
I know, exactly. I do. Great cover, man.
Do you hate any of them?
Sorry?
Do you hate any of them?
There's some videos I like more than others, should I say.
Okay.
I feel like I've given swag in some videos more than others, but, you know, it's all good.
All right, this is The Club Is Alive on Radio 1. Came to the club not looking for love. Out with my boys just having some fun. Baby, then I saw you. All of that. Sitting by the bar, just enjoying the view. Shorties all around, but I'm focused on you. Body's in the way, but I just wanna make it clear. You could be the DJ, I could be the dance floor. You can get up on me. You could be the DJ, I could be the dance floor. You could get up on me. The club is alive. Spotlight, ooh, cause she turns me on. One, two, three, four. The club is alive, put the sound on me. I put you in the spotlight, ooh, girl, you turn me on. Bring it back, back, baby, baby, like that. Hey! Bring it back, back, baby, baby, like that. Girl, when you move, it's a private show. Spotlight, ooh, cause she turns me on. One, two, three, four. The club is alive. You could be the DJ, I can be the dance floor, you can get up on me. You can be the DJ, I can be the dance floor, you can get up on me. The club is alive. You're listening to Radio 1 Stories. I'm Greg James and this is my co-presenter, Pippa Haynes.
I won a Radio 1 Teen Award last year for my work looking after my mum, sister and nephew. Tonight's Radio 1 story is called Keeping Mum. That's the hashtag on Twitter too, all one word, at BBCR1.
We're hearing the untold stories of tens of thousands of 16 to 24-year-olds caring for disabled or otherwise unwell family members, like Pippa and the others around our table. We look like a round table. This is quite cool. And if you just tuned in, we've been joined by pop royalty, Arishe from JLS.
Greg, stop it. Come
what?
On.
You
pop
are.
Royalty.
Mate, you've sold millions.
That's true.
See? Arishe, tell us a bit more about your caring role.
Well, I was 11 years old. It went from my mum being able to walk me to school every single day to me having to literally hold on to her, you know, trying to help her walk. you know, for me, it was just a matter of I've got to help her, I've got to be there for her, to the point where at times I was so tired going to school that I used to fall asleep in class and my teacher would be like, you know, wake up, you know, why are you so tired? Actually, there was one point where my English teacher at the time, Miss O'Connell, I actually just burst into tears because I was exhausted. She kind of made me realise that it wasn't, you know, normal. And if I needed support, make sure that I reach out for it.
It's very difficult for someone at the age of 11 to be burdened with that. Was there anything that you look back on and you think, I really missed an opportunity or not? Do you not begrudge a second of it?
No, I don't begrudge a second of it, Greg, to be honest with you, because my mum inspired me all the time. She constantly was saying to me, you know, Risha, you got to do what you feel like you need to do. Make sure you live your life. She's so about her children. And even though she was, you know, getting worse, she didn't want me to help her. She was like, you know, you got to go and live your life. You got to go and do you. But it was me saying, no, mum, I'm standing by your side. And obviously them times I was very passionate about singing and dancing and performing. And she was, you know, constantly saying, look, you know, if this is your dream, go for it. And I just, me and my little brother, Temi, we had a conversation. And I said to Temi that, you know, I think if I make it in music, hopefully I can get enough money to help mum out. And his ambition was to become a medical scientist. And then hopefully I could give him my money and then he could help mum out and come up with an invention to cure mum. You know, so that was like our big plan. Obviously, I did my side of the bargain and my brother graduated in biomedical science 2 years ago.
It's an amazing story and inspirational as well. But the problem is that not everybody can be a pop star.
Yeah.
So where does the government start with this? What should they do?
Well, I think it's a long conversation, but how can anybody help if nobody knows? People need to open up a lot more and, you know, and I think the government can come up with some unique schemes and actually maybe talk to young carers, you know, and come up with a scheme themselves, find out what they want, what they need, what kind of support and help would make their life that much easier.
Greg, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm going to hand over to the other guys that are in the studio. Guys, is there anything you want to ask Arisha?
Sam, go.
Go on, Sam.
I suppose the only thing I'd always say about being a young carer is it's made me who I am. You know, my life would be completely different. If you could go back, would you change what's happened? Because obviously it's got you where you are now.
You're right. You know, your life experiences are the making of you. On one side of it, I'll be like, I want my mum to be well. But the reality is that the struggles and the obstacles that were put in front of me, you know, the times when I overcame it, it set me up for life because I feel like I can overcome anything. It doesn't matter what you put in front of me. If somebody says I can't do something, I tell them, trust me, you're going to see me when I do it.
You know, help with the X Factor.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it did because, you know, obviously we came runners up on the show. And actually that night is so funny because I was with the boys and all of the families were crying and, you know, saying, oh, you know, you guys have lost and we're so sorry. And my mum came in a little wheelchair. She went up to me and she had a big smile on her face. And I was like, mum, why are you smiling? I've just lost, you know, the biggest show on television. You know, what am I going to do now? And she said to me, Arisha, you got to think about what's next. Always think about what's next. And as soon as she said that, I was like, right, I told my boys, put on your jackets. We're going into Simon Cowell's office. Straight after we came off stage and the cameras were down, I sat down right next to him and I said, Simon, look, right, I know we've lost. I know there's no guarantee for those who haven't won, but we believe that we can do it and we need a, you know, a record deal. And he said, very interesting. And we'll talk later. But, you know, I think it was that kind of mentality that you have.
Were there times when it got too much? And when it does get too much, what did you do to chill out?
You know, the weirdest thing about it is that it's harder for me now than it was then. When I was, you know, in my teens, I was with my mum every single day. I knew what was happening because I was in control of it. I'm doing all this and my life's so amazing. And yes, I've got, you know, winning awards and I'm having, you know, great success, but I'm constantly calling nurses and carers and finding out how my mum is and, you know, and her progression. Just to have a simple conversation with her on the phone, and there barely is any time.
I'm Shani. I was just wondering if you ever felt like you were held back getting to your goal and fulfilling your dreams by your responsibilities with your family. And for our benefit and all the other carers out there, how did you get over that?
It was a matter of multitasking. I did everything. At one point, I was looking after my mum, looking after my family, working three jobs to bring in money, going to university, all at the same time as putting together this boy band that was called JLS. You don't have regrets. You don't look back and be like, I should have done that, or maybe I could have if I worked a little harder. Sometimes, unfortunately, because of what your situation is, you have to sacrifice sleep, you have to sacrifice time. You know, while everybody else is sleeping for 8 hours, sometimes you got to sleep for four.
Hi, Irish, I'm Carwin. Do you feel a certain sense of guilt that you're away from your mum?
Massively, I do. I don't want my mum to ever feel like she's a burden. And that's the thing that, you know, as young carers, we try and eliminate by saying, no, it's absolutely fine. You know, we're all here together. You know, I'm here because I love you. But, you know, I can't even tell you. Just yesterday, I was sitting in my car going to rehearsal and I'm thinking to myself, wow, how things have changed so much. You know, I went from cooking and cleaning every day. Every 7 days a week, I was cooking breakfast, dinner, laundry, washing, cleaning, to, do you know what I mean? I've got people coming into my house when I'm not there doing my laundry for me. Do you know what I mean?
It's lazy. Like,
I know, basically. guilt become lazy. Really.
So someone washes your pants?
Yeah, they do.
Right, I need that person's number. I need that. I need that in my life. Do you think that your experiences when you were growing up has really helped you now, though? Do you think, did you grow up quicker? And do you think that you're more equipped with dealing with life now because you went through all that when you were younger?
Definitely. That's the key to the person I am today, is that, you know, people always say, oh, why is your head never in the lights, in terms of, you know, you've got all this, but you never seem to be, you know, overtaken by fame or anything like that. And that's simply because my reality that I live in every day is that my mum, I've had to look after my mother, do you know what I mean, in a way that a parent would look after their child.
Arishe, thank you. You're staying with us for the rest of the hour.
Yeah, let's hang out.
For this amazing Radio 1 story today. And Pippa.
So we've got this flip chart where we're writing down questions as a group that we're going to the government to ask them to make some changes. Is there anything that you think we could add to the list?
I'm going to look at this list right now. We're being very serious here.
I know. Pippa's going to go to the government.
I'm telling you. Wow. You know what would be amazing, I think, more than anything else, is for there to be care support in schools. Because thinking about my own experience, I just went to my English teacher.
So you mean there should be a carer for the young carer at a school?
Yeah, basically. Because I think the young carer needs to be cared for as well. That's what I would definitely put to the government very strongly.
Lovely. Very neatly done.
We're using the hashtag #KeepingMum and you can include at @BBCR1 in your tweets.
Okay, let's meet the next person.
You.
Karina, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell me a bit about yourself then. Where'd you come from?
Okay, I come from Bristol. I care for my mum and my dad. My mum has depression, anxiety, and she self-harms. My dad recently, who's been diagnosed with Parkinson's. I was a carer since I was 5 when my little sister was born, and my mum began to feel low. So I was doing the, like, things that you do with a baby, so bathing and changing.
When you were 5?
Yeah.
I couldn't do that now. But you, I suppose you wouldn't have thought about it, would you, in that way?
No, I didn't at all. She was just my little sister, and I stepped up to the plate to look after. I never told anybody at school. It never really came up in a conversation, and then went into college and didn't tell anybody there.
Why didn't you tell anybody?
I don't know. My mum has depression, so she's not got a disability that people can see, and mental health still has a massive stigma around it. People say that you're mad and you're crazy, when actually it's like a disability but a hidden one. We also didn't tell anyone because my mum and my dad were both worried about kind of the social services getting involved. My mum had a difficult childhood and she always looked at social services as the bad people, the bad cops. And thought that we would get taken away from her because she was struggling, which in the end wasn't the case, because we did tell them and they did help. But that's another reason why we had to kind of not tell anyone and keep it a bit of a secret.
So, Greg, the reason I got Karina here today is to show how patchy support services can be for carers our own age around the country. Young carer groups support you up to the age of 18. After that, in a lot of places, help just falls away. We went bowling with some of Karina's young carer friends in Bristol to find out more.
I got some of them over!
Hi,
my name is Annie and I'm 21. And I got a letter through the post saying, we're closing your file, bye-bye. Literally, we are closing your file. That was their phrase. And I was like, oh, thanks.
My name's Naomi and I'm 20. Just after I was 18, I got a letter through the post saying exactly the same. They're closing my file.
It did feel like just being like, right, you're 18, sorry, bye.
Some parts of the country have adult young carer groups, specifically for 16 to 24-year-olds. Where I live in Southampton, we've got something called Next Steps, where we get one-to-one support and trips away to things like ice skating. Often people in other places aren't so lucky. When they turn 18, the only support they get is from general care groups, aimed at much older people. Time and time again, the story you hear from young carers is that those general care groups just aren't what they need. Here's where Karina comes in.
We are at the Lanes Bowling Alley on a night out with 18 plus young adult carers group. So I've been to a few adult groups. There are 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. Most of them have retired. They like these Scrabble games and things like that, which just don't attract us. They don't give us a laugh. They don't give us... It's not a reason for us to leave our house. We can play Scrabble at home easily.
Seeing that there wasn't any support in Bristol for carers her own age, Karina went ahead and set up her own group for adult young carers called 18 Plus.
A lot of carers haven't had their childhood. This is a chance to completely be as silly as you want, and no one will judge because we all understand.
That's the good thing about being here, you know, we just get to be idiots, basically.
Terry wins everything, always.
What you gotta do is you gotta have a perfect distribution of weight throughout your body. Just watch.
I'm Rachel and I'm 25.
My name's Terry, I'm 20. More than anything, it's just a good excuse to get out of house. Just good to chill out, have a laugh with absolutely no pressure. Like.
Thing is, you didn't need to talk. You walked into this room, you knew straight out these people would know exactly what's going on. I mean, I met with Karina and Annie, and we sat there for 2 hours and laughed constantly for the whole 2 hours. I haven't laughed like that in years. These people understand, you know, my life is normal to them.
Along with all the issues that young adults get with university, their jobs, building relationships, moving house, all those things, you've got caring added onto that, which makes it 10 times harder than, I hate the word normal, but a young adult goes through.
I can literally go for weeks without leaving my house, especially seeing as a lot of carers are also bullied at school as well, which so can totally establish in your head there is something wrong with me specifically. And it's nice just to meet other people and realise, no, it's not me, it's circumstances.
As the carer, you know, you've got to be the strong one. You have to step up. You have to be okay with everything. My mum has still never, ever seen me cry.
I mean, I went through quite a few years without seeing any of my friends because they don't have any caring responsibilities. They don't understand why I'm not moving on with my life. Loads of my friends don't live at home anymore. They're in serious relationships, stuff like that, that I just can't do. Some of my friends are actually finishing uni, which I cannot believe. It makes me feel so old. I'm at the same place in my life as I was when I left school, and that's horrible and that really upsets me.
Annie again. As well as groups like 18 Plus, most young and adult young carers know that feeling. Maybe at the end of the day, when you finally get time to yourself to chill out, it's about closing your bedroom door and blasting out some music. Here's Rachel.
Music is one way that gets you to cope. I mean, it says things that, yeah, you don't necessarily have the words to say. Evanescence did a song years ago, My Immortal. It just stopped me in my tracks, the lyrics to it. It's about, it's almost like a breakup. It's like grieving. That song just, it really hit me in the face, to be honest.
I'm so tired of being here, suppressed by all my childish fears. And if you have to leave, I wish that you would just leave. Your presence still lingers here, and it won't leave me alone. These wounds won't seem to heal. This pain is just too real. There's just too much that time cannot.
And I held your hand.
my once pleasant dreams, your voice it chased away all the sanity in me. These wounds won't seem to heal, this pain is just too real, there's just too much that time cannot erase. When you cry,
listening to Keeping Mum, where we're hearing the stories of what's been called Britain's hidden and neglected army of young and young adult carers. Tweet us at BBCR1 and use the hashtag Keeping Mum, all one word. Before Evanescence, Tune, by the way, we heard from Karina, who set up her own group for adult young carers. We also heard about some young carers getting bullied at school. Now I've got a question for you, Karina, and anybody really. But in that little bit that we heard with you and your friends in Bristol, there was a phrase that really popped out at me, which was, my life is normal to them. What is the reaction of people maybe in school or in your community when you tell them what you do? Has it affected any friendships or your relationships?
Well, I told a few of my friends back in school. It was just at a really difficult time at home, and I think it was right after a mock maths exam, and I just burst out crying. They couldn't understand because it was a mock, it didn't matter. But I then explained a little more and just said that I had a really bad night, and my mum, because she has mental health, it's not kind of written on her forehead. She seems normal to everybody else. And yeah, they really didn't understand that. And because my little sister doesn't like being at home on her own with my parents, just because the responsibility then lies on her, I take her everywhere. We go everywhere together. And people can't understand that when I go to the local pub garden, my sister's with me. They don't understand that she comes with me everywhere I go. And I have lost friendships because of that, because of them not understanding. And also relationships as well, boyfriends not understanding that you can't just drop everything at home and go and have a meal with them.
I totally agree with you, Karina. If you want to go out on a date, and your date's like, oh, can we meet up? You're like, no, sorry, I'm busy, I'm working, I have to work. Otherwise, the bills don't get paid. They're like, you're 18, why are you worrying about bills? You live at home. No, mate, you don't understand.
Fundamental fact is that unless you go through it yourself, you know, you really don't know what it's like. I'm so close to my boys in JLS, you know, I love them to bits, and my brothers. But even Marvin says, I could never go through what you went through because I just wouldn't know how to deal with it.
Shani, step forward. Tell me about yourself, please.
I look after my mum. She has clinical depression.
Okay.
So it's more of a emotional support side of things, motivating her, getting her to take her medication, doing stuff around the house and looking after myself as well.
And how long's that been going on for then?
I've always been a young carer. My mum's had clinical depression since a very young age.
Okay.
So, Shani, A-level results day for a lot of people is straightforward, right? You get your results, you get into uni. That's a good thing. You don't get your grades, you stay at home, which is
a bad thing. But it's more complicated with your mum though, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. Making the decision to go to university means stepping back from my caring role and leaving my mum to be more independent, or handing my responsibilities onto someone else. That's a really hard thing to do for someone who's had that role all of their life.
So, Shani, we were with you earlier in the year when you picked up your results on that horrible day, results day, and we'll talk more after we've heard what happened.
We're going to college, to the room where my A-level results are, which will determine whether I get into uni or not.
We've heard from Sam, who dropped out of education to stay at home and continue his caring role. I'm going to uni next year, but I'm lucky because I've got a place at one of my local universities, so I should be able to keep up my studies while still doing all the things my mum needs me to do. Being a young carer, though, can make the already difficult decision about going to uni even harder.
It means leaving my mum on her own in Bedford while I go off and live my own life. I've got a whole new basket of worries.
Shani's mum, Deborah's, depression is worse some days than others. It can mean not leaving bed for days on end and relying on Shani for the basics like food and drink, cleaning the flat and making sure she takes her tablets. For her, today is a huge mix of emotions.
Oh dear. I don't know, it's another big step, but I don't want her to worry. I know she will, but I'm going to take the next couple of months just trying to prove to her that I am okay, really.
Inside college, Shani gets her hands on her results envelope.
What?
I don't understand it.
It's not the news she wanted.
I got three C's.
Three C's, but what she needed was three B's to do psychology at her first choice university, Nottingham Trent. Cue a frantic few hours on the internet and calling the UCAS support line for help.
Basically, I received my results this morning.
Finally, she gets confirmation that she's got a place at her reserve university.
I am officially in at Birmingham City doing...
Don't cry. Don't cry. Don't cry. Please don't cry. Stop
I'm
crying.
I'm so proud of you. Well done. Sorry, everybody.
One of the first things Shani checks, though, is her quickest route home in case of emergencies. She's got other plans in place too.
Well, she's got me a Skype account and she wants me to carry the laptop around so she can check that everything's okay in the flat and that she can actually see me, because obviously I can say that I'm fine and I'm not, whereas if she can see my face, she'll know if I'm lying.
I'm going to be worrying about her, but we're going to have to manage somehow.
I'm going to be fine. OK, I'm going to have a bit of a meltdown for a few days, but I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. I am.
Shani, your mum sounds like a delight.
She sounds brilliant.
She does sound like a character. So obviously you'll be worried about this, but you've got the Skype account sorted, yep. So you can see her face.
Yes.
And also I was thinking you can show her prospective boyfriends as well on there, so she can give them, you can have your approval from mum. What's the longest you've been away from your mum in the past?
I went on a school trip for about 2 weeks.
And how was it on those 2 weeks? Were you worried about her?
Yes, definitely. It was strange because at that age, I didn't speak to any of my friends about what was going on at home. And to be perfectly honest, I don't think I really understood it. Obviously, on results day, I was excited and thinking about uni and moving away and starting this whole new life. But a couple of weeks after that, it really, really hit me. I broke down in tears. I realised that she's going to have to deal with things on her own. I'm not going to be able to go and give her a cuddle in the morning when she needs it.
And how is she feeling? Do you feel like she's putting a brave face on, or is she? I mean, she must be. She sounded really happy for you. Mm. She was bloody proud of you and what you've achieved.
Mum's always pushed me to fulfil my dreams and do well in life, but of course I am going to worry, and she knows that.
Arisha, you've got huge experience of a very similar story in many ways, that you're away from your mum a lot.
Yeah.
Your university was travelling the world with JLS.
Yeah.
So how did you keep up that contact with your mum?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, first of all, just say congratulations to Shani. You got 3 A-levels while you take care of your mum. I mean, that's incredible. You know, you got to feel great about that. Did better than me. But yeah, no, it's one of those things where you can't stop your life because of that responsibility. I know how you're going to feel. You're going to feel like nobody can take care of your mum more than you can. No one's going to give her the kind of love and attention she needs more than you. But you have to pass that role on, because the only way that your mum is... I mean, hearing your mum being elated, so happy, is so amazing for me. It shows that she really cares about you. She really wants you to achieve your dreams, for you to go forward and do what you want to do. And if you think about that, it gives you an extra kind of encouragement and push to go out there and get exactly what you want out of life, because you know that's going to put the biggest smile on her face more than anything. My mum, when I was growing up, she was a fan of music. She was a fan of loads of different artists, from Bob Marley to Stevie Wonder. Now you ask her, she only likes JLS. That's it. She doesn't want to see anybody else but JLS. Don't tell her about any other artist, musician, anything. She doesn't want to know. So, you know, I see the, you know, she came to our show the other day and she was just smiling. She's like, that's my son. You know, and for her, she's still not used to it. But it's that thing of, you know, if your mum can feel that sense of happiness, do you know what I mean? And feel so proud of you. You know, you got to know that's going to even make her better, because you know you're feeding her soul.
This is BBC.
BBC Radio 1 Stories.
Rebecca.
Yes, hello.
Welcome to the Radio 1 Story.
Thank you.
Briefly, what's your story?
I look after my older sister, Ashley. She's 22. She's got cerebral palsy, epilepsy, scoliosis, learning difficulties, and is in a wheelchair.
When did you start caring? What were your first experiences of it?
My whole life I've been caring, because my sister's older. So it's basically, yeah, from the age of being able to walk and talk, really. But yeah, at a young age, I was helping my mum give my sister medication. I was helping feed her.
Have you been able to forge your own path and go and study and do whatever you want to do?
Yeah, I'm going into fourth year to study television at Napier University, which is an Edinburgh-based university, but it gets taught in Glasgow, so it means I don't need to commute.
Perfect.
Like you, Carwin. But yeah, I've been able to do what I want in my life, just because we have such a close-knit family.
Rebecca, you want to be a radio presenter like Greg?
Yes.
You are trying to take Greg's job right now.
Yeah.
So, how are you going to do that, plus fulfil your role?
Well,
Don't worry, me and Greg will have a word.
Well, I was hoping to have a radio-based job in Glasgow. I've had all the experience.
So if you were offered a job in London when you graduate, would you be able to take it straight away, or would you have these other things to think about, your family and
I'd
stuff?
Have loads of stuff to think about. I'd see if it's possible to commute, if it was possible to live in Glasgow and just come to London, like...
Every day.
Exactly.
I don't know.
That sleeper train would get very boring.
Yeah.
Before we talk any more to Rebecca, let's find out a bit more about her life at home.
Rebecca, you shut the door.
The idea of visiting Rebecca's house was to interview her and the older sister she cares for. Ashley, though, had her own ideas about who should be asking the questions.
Can I hold the mic?
Is it recording?
It's recording!
Okay.
Right. So, Rebecca, what do you like to do?
I like to play music, hang out with friends, not be moaned at by my sister.
What's your favourite food?
My favourite food is pizza. Pizza and coffee.
Oh no, she drinks coffee quite a lot.
I drink a lot of coffee because you get me up really early, but I don't get to sleep till about 1 in the morning.
Come a wee bit closer.
How close do you want me? you want me right up at your face? I'll be
happy. No, John. So, tell me this. Mm-hmm. What do you like the best about me?
The best thing about you being my sister is that I've learned how to look after someone. I've learned how to be independent and more stronger as a person and learn more about people with disabilities and realise that they aren't just people in wheelchairs, that they all have different personalities and that you're the craziest one out of the lot.
Is it fun?
Looking after you is sometimes fun. We try and make it as fun as possible so everyone's happy and so that mainly you're happy, but it is hard for everyone looking after you. It's stressful.
A big part of the daily routine on the CBeebies TV channel.
Hey, tiddlers, come in, come in.
Who's that?
Mr.
Bloom, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, we all know most of the songs, and we sing along with Ashley, and we learn Mr. Tumble's sign language, and we sing all the birthday songs. I don't know, what other songs do we sing? If you keep Ashley singing, she's happy.
Yeah.
Or what about the song that you're singing at your music class? That Stereophonics song? Ashley, do you want Stereophonics, Have a Nice Day, on the radio?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we can do that for you.
Yeah.
What is it? Ba.
What? Ba 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 ba.
San Francisco Bay, house be 39. Early PM, can't remember what time. Got the waiting cab stopped at the red light. Address I'm sure of, but it's not just right. Coming here as hell, that's his first words. We asked what he meant. He said, where you from? We told him our lot. We take a holiday. Is this what you want? So have a nice.
Haynes, an adult young carer from Southampton, part of what's been called a hidden and neglected army of young people who do work for sick or disabled loved ones.
And I'm Greg James. The hashtag to tell us what you think tonight is Keeping Mum, all one word. Tweet at BBCR1. And before the last song, we heard from Rebecca and how her caring role can actually be quite fun. Turns out that it's not actually all bad, is it? Arishe.
You know, I think it's important to be positive. Like me and my siblings, on a Saturday, we would all do chores and my mum would be in hysterics because we're putting Jackson 5 and we're all singing Jackson 5 whilst sweeping up, whilst, you know, dusting the sofas, whilst, you know, cleaning the windows, and we're all singing and doing routines with the stuff we're using to clean the house, and singing into, you know, deodorant cans and stuff, like, do you know what I mean? You do have fun, and I think the important thing is to keep the household upbeat, because what are you going to do? Just, you know, otherwise you're going to just be sad, you know, you're going to cry. No, you've got to be happy.
Also, there must be a fine line between being patronised and people just being aware of what's going on, because I imagine that's a bit of a trap that people fall into. Shani?
Lots of people try and put us in a textbook. They try and relate to us as a case study. They think that they can put themselves in our shoes because they've studied this or read about this. They need to understand that they can't. They will never be able to know what it's like to watch someone that you love in pain or suffering unless they've actually been there and done it.
To actually get what somebody's going through with most things, I suppose, in life, you have to actually experience it. And without actually going through it yourself, you don't know what someone else is going through. And so it's very hard for someone to come along and say, I know what you're going through, can I keep going? Because they don't.
Well, sadly, we're running out of time on today's Radio 1 story, but I think we should just do a couple more bits on the flip chart that Pippa's going to take to the government. So is there anything else over the last few minutes or so that's come up that you think we should take to the government and put on our fabulous flipboard? Rebecca.
Go on, Rebecca.
How many points have you got?
I've got three.
Three?
Three-ish.
Right. We have got space. Luckily, we have got space for your three. So what are your three?
One of them is to designate someone with a job that organises, you know, like physiotherapists, nurses, hospital appointments. Because right now it's just me and my mum that fight for all this. I finish uni about 5. Mum finished work at 5. So when we get home, all the offices are shut. So it's just like
some flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, we need help. Yeah, coordinator. The other one's carers allowance. I know parents get carers allowance, but it's only if you're working under a certain amount of hours and if you're on benefits. But I think siblings should have carers allowance, or like sons and daughters kind of thing. Kids do sacrifice a lot. They sometimes sacrifice jobs, getting jobs, because they won't have enough time. So carers allowance would help out.
Okay. Thank you all for coming to Radio 1 today to be part of this story. I hope it's been interesting and informative to meet everybody, and hopefully you might have even struck up some friendships, dare I say. Maybe? Shani, you and Arishe, for certain. That's going to happen.
Me and Shani are sticking together now.
That's because definitely. He's stuck on her button.
Exactly.
But Arishe, definitely tickets to your next gig in Birmingham.
Oh, yeah? Definitely. Absolutely.
Glasgow.
And Glasgow.
Yeah. Tickets for everybody, man. You know what I mean?
It's free tickets for everyone.
Tickets for everyone. Come and have a good time.
You're like the Willy Wonka of pop.
Don't know how to take that, Greg.
Sam, thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure to meet you. Thank you, Arishe. Shani, thank you very much as well. Rebecca, it's been a pleasure. Carwin. Good pronunciation.
Yeah.
Lovely to meet you, sir. And Karina, thank you as well.
Thank you very
And of
much.
Course, a round of applause for my glamorous co-host, Pippa.
Go on, Yay. Pippa.
It's been amazing.
I'm Pippa Haynes, and this has been Keeping Mum. We've been showing Greg James some of the challenges and difficulties faced by 16 to 24-year-old carers all over the UK.
If you've been inspired by any of the stuff you've heard tonight, then please keep tweeting us your thoughts. Use the hashtag KeepingMum. Just use @BBCR1. That is our Twitter address. And we'll put some of your points to the Minister tomorrow in Newsbeat.
If you need advice on anything you've heard, call the BBC Action Line for recorded information on 0800 110 100. Lines are open 24 hours a day and are free from landlines. Mobile operators will charge. Also, head to bbc.co.uk/radio1 for links to more help.